From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. The place which is called Calvary. The hill of comfort is the hill of Calvary. The house of consolation is built with the wood of the cross. The temple of heavenly blessing is founded upon the riven rock, riven by the spear which pierced his side. No scene in sacred history ever gladdens the soul like Calvary's tragedy. Is it not strange the darkest hour that ever dawned on sinful earth should touch the heart with softer power for comfort than an angel's mirth? That to the cross the mourner's eye should turn sooner than where the stars of Bethlehem burn. Light springs from the midday midnight of Golgotha, and every herb of the field blooms sweetly beneath the shadow of the once accursed tree. In that place of thirst, grace hath dug a fountain which ever gusheth with waters pure as crystal, each drop capable of alleviating the woes of mankind. You who have had your seasons of conflict will confess that it was not at Olivet that you ever found comfort, not on the hill of Sinai, nor on Tabor, but Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha have been the means of comfort to you. The bitter herbs of Gethsemane have often taken away the bitters of your life. The scourge of Gabbatha has often scourged away your cares, and the groans of Calvary have put all other groans to flight. Thus Calvary yields us comfort rare and rich. We never should have known Christ's love in all its heights and depths if He had not died. Nor could we guess the Father's deep affection if He had not given His Son to die. The common mercies we enjoy all sing of love, just as the seashell, when we put it to our ears, whispers of the deep sea whence it came. But if we desire to hear the ocean itself, we must not look at everyday blessings, but at the transactions of the crucifixion. He who would know love, let him retire to Calvary, and see the man of sorrows die.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died,
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of a message entitled, The Light of the World. The context is John chapter 8, the account of a woman taken in adultery, whom the Pharisees brought to Christ to see what he would say. In their hypocrisy, their aim was to make Jesus appear to disregard the law of Moses. In the course of this encounter, Jesus made that great declaration, I am the light of the world. In doing so, Christ taught many important truths about himself. He was revealing his identity as God. Then it showed his absolute purity, as well as the fact that he is truth incarnate. As the true light, Christ brings hope to a dark world full of the hopelessness caused by sin. Light dispels darkness, even as the gospel separates the godly from the lost. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, The Light of the World.
Do you remember what he said in John 3:17? God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again in John 12:47, he says, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the glory and the beauty of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. He could have come to judge. When he said, He that's without sin among you, let him first cast the stone, and they all had to slink away. He turned to the woman and said, Where are your accusers? Does no man condemn you? No man, Lord. Here's the one who says, I am the light of the world. Sinless, spotless, absolutely holy. And neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. possibly for the first time, into the sin-cursed, sin-darkened life of that poor woman, there came a beam of heavenly hope. I'm the light of the world. I could condemn every sinner on earth to everlasting hell, and I would be just in doing so. But I didn't leave heaven. I didn't need to leave heaven to condemn you. I could have done that without ever leaving heaven. I left heaven to save you, to shine light into your darkness. He brings hope. And I would say to you this morning that this is one of the most beautiful themes of the gospel. We live in a hopeless old world. You must see how hopeless things are. People are going to get themselves worked up into a frenzy over the upcoming elections, and I'm not here to talk politics, and I'm not here to insinuate that it doesn't matter who gets elected in the short term, it may. But you know, people get themselves all worked up into a frenzy because they see the utter hopelessness. Did you ever notice when you put all your eggs in the political basket and your candidates have all got elected and your party's all done very well, but 5 or 10 years later, you're just as hopeless as ever? It's not a call to disengage. It's a call to say, essentially, whatever temporary adjustments may be made in human affairs, the souls of men are engulfed in a darkness of hopelessness. Some years ago, one of our ministers was asked to do a funeral in Belfast. The young man who died had been a terrorist, and he had died a terrorist death. He was a godless, wicked, vile, filthy, murderous man, the scum of the earth, as men would call him, and rightly so. His whole family was wicked, godless, and Christ-hating. And yet, for some reason, they wanted a Free Presbyterian minister to come conduct the funeral. Possibly they thought that the other ministers may be too respectable to have anything to do with them. My friend went in there and he could hardly read the scriptures. He could hardly get time to pray. Why? Because of the shrieking and the howling and the bitter wailing and the lamentation and the cursing of God and the blaspheming of Christ, making the air blue with blasphemy. And he remarked, and I've often thought, how hopeless is the life, and even more hopeless the death, and yet more hopeless still the eternity of the man or the woman without Christ. And yet into that very hopelessness shines the light of hope. I've talked about a terrorist dying and his family engulfed in hopelessness. Just around the corner lived another family. Terrorist, drunken, vile, immoral, The father in that family, now in his 60s, one of the hardest, filthiest sinners in the city of Belfast. And that's a city of hardened, filthy sinners. Another friend of mine, a minister, went up and he visited him in the hospital. And he opened up the scripture to him and he pointed him to Christ. And into the darkness of that hopeless life and that hopeless home, with children who had grown up to be wrecked and ruined by their father's sin, brought to the edge of damnation, there arose light and hope. He was transformed. I met one of his sons, and he was transformed, and his wife transformed, and their home transformed, and now made a basis for getting out the gospel to as many others as they could. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the light of the world who brings hope. So why then is he so much despised and rejected? It's because as the light he exposes the hidden things of darkness. You see that in the case of the woman taken in adultery. Why did they all slink out from the eldest down to the youngest? I don't think it's simply that there was some code of honor that the young were letting the old walk out first. The oldest had had the most time to commit the most sin, and they were convicted and moved out. But as the Lord Jesus wrote in the dust, and then as his voice probed their conscience, the light shone in and it exposed the darkness. You know, the only people who have not much conscience of sin are people who are living either in total alienation from Christ or are professing Christians who are so backslidden that they're not living in close proximity to Christ. But I want to tell you, it's impossible to be in the presence of the light of the world without that light exposing the hidden things of darkness to penetrate to the depths of your heart. As light, he causes a fundamental division here in the earth. What was the first thing that light did in Genesis 1? Well, it separated off the darkness so that you had day and you had night. Light divides the day from the night. The Lord Jesus is the great divider of men. You go through the 7th chapter and you'll find it here again. And then if you go on through John, you'll find much evidence of it. He is the great divider of men. In verse 30, we read of some who believed in him. Many believed in him. Verse 45 and 48, however, he says, "Ye believe me not." They said, "Said we not, well, you're a Samaritan and you have a devil?" So you'll see the great division surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the divider of men. You know, at the end of the day, the division is not between East and West, black and white, rich and poor. The division is whether you're in Christ or whether you're out of Christ. Whether you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, or whether you don't and are lost. Christ is the divider of men. I want you to understand this morning. I stand in this pulpit, I see a number of people. I see their faces and their bodies. I see their outward appearance. I can come to some conclusion about their demeanor. But I can't see your heart. I can't see the dark, hidden recesses of the soul. I can't see your attitude to Christ. But God can. Through this meeting, therefore, as through all the earth, there is a crimson line of division. And God places every one of us on one side or the other. Christ is the great divider of men. What think ye of Christ? What then will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Where do you fall in this great division? And let me close by saying this. As the light, he dispels the darkness. And thank God, he sets men free. The darkness does not comprehend or overcome the light. As we have often been reminded here, we know the end of Earth's story. We know the end. The light conquers the darkness. But isn't that the testimony of every Christian? I was dark, but Jesus found me. He shone the light of His glorious grace within to bring us out of the kingdom of darkness into His own gracious and glorious kingdom, to deliver us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of Christ. He is the light of the world. And I say to you this morning that in Him all is light, but outside of Him all is darkness. I haven't time to follow up on that statement, but it is a profound statement. You know, you can go to your Harvards and your Yales and your Browns and all your other great seats of learning. You can listen to the professors with all their PhDs and all their accumulated knowledge and all their accumulation of fact. Remember, there is a significant and fundamental distinction between fact and truth. And over it all, you can write darkness. You can go to the great churches of the land with all their pomp and their pageantry and their religious rites and symbols. And over it all, you can write darkness. Out of Christ, there's darkness. And then there is outer darkness. The darkness of an everlasting hell. But in Him, there's light, there's life, there's liberty, there's the love of God leading to everlasting glory. For He says that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now the light has shone, and it will have a response. What the response should be is, we should follow Him who is the light. It doesn't mean to imitate Him. It means to believe in Him. It means to trust Him. It means to obey Him by faith. That faith that worketh by love. That should be the response. And the promise is, you'll not walk in darkness, the darkness of gross sin. If you're here this morning and you're defeated by gross sin, you're in chains and bondage to great sin, I want to tell you, the Son can set you free. You follow Christ, you will not walk in the darkness of gross sin. Nor will you walk in the darkness of damning ignorance. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Men and women today, here's God's promise to all who walk in the light, as He is in the light. May God give you today a sight of Him who said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.